When I first came back to Perth to start work on Mix, I called my cousins, who know a lot more about cars than I, and I said, I need a car. I don't have a car. I need a car. And they went out and found me a second-hand Mazda 3. It was about $7,500, and I test drove it and went, love it, and I bought the car.
Super reliable. It's never let you down.
It's been awesome.
It's been a beauty.
But I wouldn't say that the car reflects my personality. I just grabbed a car because it seemed like a really good car, and my cousin said it was a good car.
What kind of car do you think would reflect your personality?
Something up on blocks.
Well, actually, it's not too far off, Maddie, I'll tell you.
But yesterday on The Pulse, our good friends at Channel 9 with Monica Koss, they, I'll let the audio do the talking.
Car sales has revealed some brutal truths about your choice in wheels, lifting a hood on what Aussies really think about other drivers. Now, apparently Ford drivers are most likely to host a boring dinner party, while BMW owners are most likely to wear activewear to school pickup with no intention to exercise, and SUV drivers are all gear and no idea.
So this is assuming that you've got the money to get the car that you want, right?
Yes.
Does it reflect your personality?
I feel like they often do.
Okay.
I know certainly there was a time where I had an Audi convertible. I know it sounds fancy. Yeah. Bought it secondhand.
Uh-huh. It's still a convertible though.
Nobody would let me in traffic because everyone thought I was a wanker. No one would let me in. And I would be given the waves. I'd be given the friendly WA wave and everyone would be like, nah, hate your guts. Because they all looked at me like I was the wife of an orthodontist.
Right.
I was like, I bought this thing myself, guys. I bought this secondhand car myself.
Your Beyonce. Oh, your Destiny's Child.
To be the wife of an orthodontist. We've all wanted to be there.
I was like, I wouldn't even be driving myself if I was the wife of an orthodontist.
Well, should we play a game? Think of three adjectives that describe your personality.
Okay.
Give them to us and we'll try and pick what car you drive.
Okay. All right.
Is that going to work?
Yes. Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Adjectives, as you mentioned, describing words.
Describing words, yes.
Thank you, Pete.
Yes.
You're very welcome.
Give us a few words to describe yourself. We'll pick your car.
We'll pick your car because you drive a big monster car.
Yeah.
Do you think that reflects your personality?
If my personality was loves a freebie and an ambassadorship, yes.
Done, yes.
Absolutely.
Well, I'll take what I can get.
I am happy, family man. And I suppose I would say aspirational as well, right? And so if I threw those, I drive a Ford Everest. So
it's all of those
just
things.
Whatever. Yeah. Family man, because it's a big car, and aspirational because I'd like to think that I go forward driving, but I'll never actually get there.
No, it's the speed humps at Coles.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm. Charmaine's in Joondalup. Good morning.
Good morning.
Okay.
Charmaine, tell us a few things about yourself. What are these beautiful adjectives to describe you?
Okay. Fast.
Yeah.
Smart. And expensive.
Whoa, Charmaine. Fast, smart,
like
and expensive.
Like a woman who values herself.
Mmm.
Fast, smart and expensive. I think you're driving a Nissan 370Z. Two-door.
No.
Okay. Maddie, do you want to have a go?
A red Hyundai Getz?
No!
Charmaine, I'm going to go right in there and say a Mercedes sedan.
The Mercedes is correct.
Oh, Pete.
Okay. All right. But what is it?
It's an AMG A45.
Oh, an AMG.
I think that's a win.
Is a win.
I think you did well there,
Pete. Well done, Pete. Well done, Charmaine. Thanks for calling.
Got Jamie Lee in Currumbine. Hello.
Hey, how you going?
Good, Jamie Lee, describe yourself.
Okay, I am tired, busy, and the single mother.
Oh, that's definitely a red Hyundai Getz.
It is not a Hyundai Getz.
I think it's a Toyota Corolla. Dependable, no time for maintenance. You know it's never going to let you down. Yeah. Throw the kids in it. Mm. Doesn't matter what happens.
Mm. Not a Toyota.
No. I'm going to go with a Hyundai, and I think it's either one of the SUVs or it's the iX35, and it hasn't been serviced in a while.
No, so you're all wrong. I drive a Suzuki Swift.
Oh, Swift. Wow. Hello. The Suzuki Swift is not a long way from the Getz, Jamie Lee.
Okay.
Yeah,
nice
it was
one.
Close.
It is good close. On you, Jamie Thank Lee. You.
Casey.
Hi guys, how are you?
We're great. Casey, tell us about yourself.
So I'm reliable.
Yeah.
Bubbly.
Yeah.
And motivated.
Oh, I don't care what you drive, you got the job.
Bubbly, reliable, and motivated. Mitsubishi ASX.
No.
I don't even know what that is.
I'm such a car nerd. How do I know what these cars are?
Ah, okay. Bubbly, reliable. I don't know the make of the car, but I'm seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like one of those yellow VW bubble cars
with a
flower.
The dub or the, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it that, Casey?
No.
No? Okay. Can I go with, like, bubbly, reliable, motivated? I'm thinking sensibles, maybe something in there as well. I'm going to go with, like, a Mazda CX-5 or a CX-7.
No, but you're on the right path.
Oh, go on. What is it?
Well, it's a Honda Civic, but it's an older one, so it's been around for a while. It's very, like, you know, motivated to keep going.
Tell me about it.
And you've got to be bubbly every time you're having to work the windscreen wipers on your own.
All right, Hammond Park, Shannon, good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Yeah, Shannon, we're good.
Long-term listener, we should know what you drive. Goodness me. Tell us about yourself, Shannon.
All right. I've changed mine a little bit from what I said to the producers, but reliable.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
Oh.
No, there's more to you than that, we know.
Reliable, quick to the point.
What else you got?
I'm pregnant.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how that reflects my car, but whatever, YOLO.
Well, I can tell you how it reflects your car, because every pregnant friend I've had has gone from just driving a standard hatchback to definitely needing an SUV.
Yes.
Apparently you can't have a baby and just put him in a hatchback anymore.
And one other one.
I'm a passionate Frio supporter.
Oh, okay, so Holden it's an Commodore. SUV, but you've stolen it.
What is it, Shannon?
It's the best car you can own, a Toyota.
Oops. Is it a Cressida?
No, it's a RAV4.
RAV4. Right.
Perfect.
Oh, there
just
you go.
What you need for the kiddly.
Is it your first baby, by the way, Shannon?
Yeah, it's our first baby, due in October.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know, we've known Shannon. Shannon has called our show since before she, like, I think when she first got together with her partner,
right,
before she was married. You've been on, we've been on a journey with you, Shannon.
Yeah, I met you all at the, when you turned Capital Nightclub into
Pinocchio's.
That's right.
Hey, good times, Shannon.
My dad and my auntie were there, and I was there. I've got photos with you, Kimber.
Oh,
I was like, it's Shannon from Hannon Park.
Well, we look forward to you, you know, when you're having your third kid and you are upgrading from that to the Toyota Land Cruiser, Shannon.
Yeah, or the Ford Everest to make you real jealous.
Yeah, good idea. That's the stuff, Shannon. You love to hear it. Thanks, mate.
He was the club's number two draft pick in 1998 and these days calls the shots as head coach. Part of the Mix 94.5 family, please welcome Fremantle Dockers coach, Justin Longmuir.
Morning, coach.
Morning. Thanks for having me. 3.4 degrees. Good shorts weather.
Yeah, isn't it? Perfect shorts weather. And I see a few days off and you've come in eating a packet of Cheezels and drinking a big Slurpee.
Nah, I haven't gone that far. I haven't let myself go that far, but... Yeah, I did say before off air that it is a little bit harder to get back into it and get the mind back into it. Unfortunately, though, the players haven't had that effect. They've trained really well, as good as I've seen a team train, to be honest, after the break. So, yeah, all bodes well for this weekend.
So, I know that, you know, obviously the AFL is going to continue with the bye. At the end of the day, when you balance everything up, do you think for the players that the break is better for them than playing through?
Definitely better for the players.
Yep.
Yeah, as a coach, I would just rather charge on and keep going, the treadmill going, so to speak. But the players definitely need a break. They need to give their body a rest. And, the weekend off does them a world of good.
Mm, great.
How did Fife feel about wearing the orange hat yesterday? Because I only saw that for the first time. I didn't know that you put an orange hat on the blokes where you're not allowed to whack them too hard because, obviously, shoulder's a bit stuffed right now.
Yeah, we always do something like that. Usually it's a bib, so they wear a different colour bib to the rest, but that just gets confusing when you've got two teams and then you've got guys running around in bibs as well. So we trialled the hats yesterday. It worked well, and it's it's just a little indicator for players to look out for their teammates. Ethan Hughes was wearing one yesterday as well. He's coming back from a shoulder injury. You know, we have guys that are sore all the time, week to week. So just need to look after them guys and make sure they don't get any decent hits on their sore areas.
I mean, it's extraordinary, sorry, Kim, but to me that players can make those decisions so quickly. You know, you're going in to do a tackle or whatnot and say, oh, no, hat, pull out hat.
Well, it's definitely not foolproof. It's just, yeah, we're trying to help them as best they can. But you're right, in the moment, if you've got a player in a drill that has collision in it, sometimes it's unavoidable. So we do look after him and try and get him out of those drills. So Fifey wasn't in tackling the full-on tackling drills yesterday. So we just try and look after our players as much as we can to get them to the line.
How are you feeling about Fifey? You know you want to get him out there, but it's a pretty big risk too. How do you know when to make that call?
Well, it's decided by the doctors and first and foremost. And if they tick it off, well, then it's decided by Fifey, to be honest. If he can go out there and feel like he can give nearly 100%, well, then I'll pick him. But if there's any doubt with him, it's probably better off him having another week.
Would you find most often players would go, I think I'm good, because they do have that, you know, they've got that fever, they want to get out there?
Yeah, I wouldn't give the decision to the player all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I know Fifey's had the same injury before, he's been able to play through it before. Some players actually like the coach to make the decision for him because they don't want to be seen to, you know, to be letting the team down by not playing. So they'll play with injury. But if the coach say, sometimes I've had it before, I say, oh, I don't think you're right, we're not going to play this week. And you can just see them sort of sit down in the chair and go, thank God for that.
Yes.
Sometimes we need to look after them because they won't look after himself.
Yeah.
How do they take it when you say, I don't think you're right? And they go, oh, but I'm not even injured.
Yeah, just a gut feel.
Now the old Pies this weekend.
Yeah,
and as we were talking about last weekend at the prison, God, the weeks fly by, don't they? That Pies, although they've had a pretty strange old season, the last 2 weeks they've turned a corner.
Yeah, they haven't had too many big defeats this year. They've been losing close games. Their last month of footy against really good sides is really strong. So we can't get fooled by the fact they've had a coach change. They're not in that bad of form. They probably get Grundy and Adams back into that midfield, which is getting close to full strength. So yeah, it's going to be a good challenge. One that we're looking forward to.
And teams get weird, just quickly before you let you go, mate. Teams get weird sometimes when they have a coach change. It's like all of a sudden, there's been that many times over the years where they've had a coach change and they come out absolutely firing.
Yeah, there is. And I think overall it's about 50-50 wins after a coach leaves and the caretaker coach. But that's pretty extraordinary given that most teams that have been losing more than 50% of their games, hence the coaches got sacked. But this is a little bit of a different scenario. Obviously, Buck's left on his own terms. And they've won their last two games. So it's a bit of a different scenario, this one.
If I was Bucks, I would have been so upset. Because he leaves and then they won that game against the Bombers, didn't they?
Melbourne.
They beat Melbourne.
Beat Melbourne, of all teams, anyway. Hey, against the Pies, 11:45 bounce down on Saturday. I just thought I'd let you know, just in case you forgot.
mate, my diary.
Oh, shit, I've got to get on a plane.
Good luck on the weekend, mate. Good to catch up.
Thanks, guys.
You know I'm not a queasy person, right?
No.
I'm quite good. I can deal. I didn't have to deal with newborns, but I have dealt with my friend's newborns.
Yep.
I'm pretty good around poo and vomit and all that stuff. I don't like it. Who does? But I can
You've
deal
dealt
with
it. Yep.
Yesterday, I experienced something that one could only describe as a horror show.
Mm.
Oh no!
I took Florence for a walk because we have our, as I said, we have a cleaner once a fortnight.
Mm-hmm.
God, I love them. They're so nice.
Even
such
though
nice
they do
people.
Kick you out for a couple of hours.
They kick us out and they judge us harshly. And we deserve it because it's a pigsty, right? I took Florence for a walk. Now, she is, you know, she's orally fixated, just like Daddy. And she grabbed something, dug something up and grabbed it. And it all happens in a second with her.
Mm.
And I, because she's driven by her nose and went in, grabbed it. And I had to put my hand almost down her throat to pull this thing out.
Oh, no.
I felt it. I did not want to look at it, whatever it was, and I threw it. And as I cast it away, I already smelt it.
Oh, yuck.
Now, I don't...
Was this thing like a living thing?
It was organic material,
oh,
definitely.
Yuck.
If you had to describe how it felt, Like, what would you...
It was soft, yeah, but yet hard.
Okay.
Which, again, is like me on a Saturday night. And I felt, and I cast it away, and the smell already, and I thought, oh, my God, what is that? And it was putrid. So if it was poo, it was a poo that had evolved into something worse, or it was a dead bird or
it
something.
It sounds like whatever it was in its full form.
Yes.
And then Florence punctured it.
Yes.
And whatever was living on the inside suddenly came out.
So I'm trying to get her home, right? The cleaner's there. I got her home without trying to touch anything. Because it had somehow gone onto both hands by this stage. And I got home and I'm like, Tanaya! Please! Get. Right, she comes down with soap. I said, don't get close to me. It stinks so badly. Just give me the soap. And I washed my hands 3 times before I offered up my fingers for her to smell. She still gagged after the third wash.
Oh, my God. Now someone else is down there going, oh, my dog picked that thing up straight after yours, actually.
I then went to the shower, walking around like a surgeon that had just done scrubs and didn't want to touch anything, into the shower. T put all these like essential oils, like lemon and On Guard to try and get 10, no joke, 10 or 15 times I washed my hands.
Is it gone?
I'm not sure. What's wrong, buddy?
This is the song that the producers have given me to play.
Is there a love story?
Because apparently a love story is happening. And
oh, we love love.
No, we don't love love.
Oh, don't we?
No, we're not ready for loving love in our household. I'm more thinking like this.
Hello, darkness, my old friend.
This is actually
sounds
how I feel.
I've come to talk with you again.
Kind of bleak.
About what happened in our household last night.
Because a vision softly creeping.
Oh, God. You okay?
Sort of. I don't know yet.
Oh, tissues. Look out.
Sorry, Amazon rainforest. Go on.
I don't like handkerchiefs. I think they're disgusting.
Yeah,
anyway, we have 3 kids. They're all, you know, just varying different personalities. In fact, we think of different ways about how to describe them. And, you know, if they were to have jobs one day, Ollie, who knows what the blob will be just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Izzy,
brand new.
Exactly. Izzy will probably be like a Greco-Roman wrestler or backline for Fremantle or security guard or something like that.
She's got big plans.
Tough.
Yeah. Mila, my princess, will be a vet or a doctor or a CEO or, like, you know.
Of course she will.
Something
she
like
will.
That.
Yeah.
And Mila holds that special place in my heart because she's our first, but she's also the one that flicked the switch for me. Like, I always thought that I wanted to be a dad of boys, you know, do the boys thing. I love my footy.
Mm.
I love cars. I love playing video games, all that sort of stuff. And I'm not saying that girls don't like that stuff or aren't into that sort of stuff. It's just that, I suppose, as a bloke, you just sort of think, when you picture kicking a footy around in the backyard, you probably picture it kicking it with your son.
Mm-hmm.
As it stands, I'll be doing that with Isabella. But anyway, Mila's the one that flicked my switch because when she was born, and I'll never forget this moment, she was lying there fresh out of mama on the little table that's got the heater in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And she had her hand out, her right hand palm up. And I wandered over there and I had a look at her and I put my finger on the palm of her hand and she closed it.
Oh.
Well, she thought it was a $5 note.
CEO
Nothing's
vibes.
Changed. Yeah.
She closed it and she held my finger.
Oh.
And I mean, it was virtually from the moment I saw her anyway, but from that moment I was like, I am a father of daughters and I'm so proud and I love you so much. And I always knew that this was going to be a tough moment. But boys have started circling.
What is she, 5, 4?
She's 5.
Yeah.
She's 5, Kim, but she's not ready.
Yeah.
And I'm not ready. And I don't know if it's the fact that she's not ready. Maybe she is. But I'm certainly not ready because she's my special little one. And yesterday afternoon, now I know there's been one boy in particular who's been circling for a little while.
Who is it?
I'm not going to say his name. I'm not going to say his name. All right. But, you know, she wants to walk home with him after school. I kid you not. We will wait at the classroom. She'd be like, oh, we got to wait for... Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, fine. And I tolerate it.
Nice.
And then, you know, we get to the front of our house and
she has to give him a hug and he has to hug her back.
Nothing yet. Okay. Yeah, absolutely nothing. Oh, don't worry. We've already had the discussion. He hugged her the other day and I was like, mate, at some point you're going to step across the road and come inside. Yeah. We're going to have a chat.
Yeah.
Anyway, she got home and she's given mum the folder that they bring home with all of the stuff in it, all of the different bits of work that they've done throughout the day. And Liz is ruffling through it all and flicking through it and she goes, oh. I was like, what? And she had a smirk on her face. And she calls me over and she hands me a note.
Oh, dear.
And the note says, from Seb to Mila. And it's got three X's on it.
That's cute.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
These are nice young men who are learning how to express their emotions and to make friends with women and girls just because it doesn't matter. In school, gender doesn't matter and you can play with everybody and it's all sweet and lovely.
Maybe he was trying to kick off a game of noughts and crosses.
Yeah, see?
Well, look at that note. Does that look like noughts and crosses? Actually, there are circles on it as well.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're hugs or maybe they are noughts and crosses.
I think it's gorgeous.
No, don't. And I don't mind boys being friends with girls. Just be friends with other girls.
Mm. Right? Don't leave Miller alone.
Guys, there's an important celebration happening in my family on Saturday.
Okay.
Because my parents, Brian and Chris, have been married for 50 years.
Oh, my goodness.
There's remarkable. 50 years.
Isn't that...
Gold.
Is it gold?
It is gold, baby. 50 years gold. Right. And here's a couple of marriage stats that might blow your socks off. Almost half of the marriages out there end by the 15-year mark.
Oh, great.
Almost half. Less than 5% of marriages make it to 50 years.
Wow.
And even less percent to 60 years. So I thought, let's find out the answer because I know my grandparents, they were married for 68 years. Well, wow. Gee, we love a long marriage in our family.
Yeah.
68 years until my grandfather passed. And before he did, I said to them, what's the answer to a successful marriage? And my grandma told me, compromise and sacrifice.
Mm. Too right.
I mean, they were more romantic than it sounds. But
no, they were practical in those days.
But I thought, is this a good opportunity to get my mum on the line?
Yeah.
Mumsy, are you there?
Yeah, hello.
Morning, Mum.
Hello, Mum.
Hi, guys. Yeah, hi.
Firstly, happy anniversary.
Thank you.
What's the secret to being married for 50 years and not stuffing it up?
Oh, a bit like Mangar as well, actually. Bit sort of tolerance and being able to give way, I guess, as well. We've always pretty much done, well, I have anyway, often done my own thing, so we don't actually live in each other's pockets all the time, which I think is important because that way you can still be a little bit independent, but you still have your companionship at home as well. So, you know, dad as the parent was always the disciplinarian and I was the peacemaker. So it kind of balances out.
Well, hang on a sec. Wait, was that the case, Kimber?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah. Remember I told you, wait till your father gets home. I'm scared of the MASH theme song.
MASH theme song.
Remember? Can I ask, Mum, is Dadsy there? Is Daddy-O there?
Yeah, he's here, yeah.
Did Daddy-O give you a reason?
Did he give you a reason for what?
How do you make a marriage last 50 years?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to talk to him? He'll tell you. I'll put him on.
We're nervous. I'm nervous.
No, this is great.
Hey, Daddy-O.
Hey, what's going on over there?
You
tell us.
Doing a show. We're just wondering what's the secret to 50 years of marriage.
Well, as she said, yes, dear. Yes, dear. Yes, dear.
Yeah, okay. Good man. Yep, right. Well said.
Okay.
I know we're having jokes here, Chris O'Brien, but it is very serious because, as you may remember, I got married this time last year. You're going for your gold. I'm going for my we are going for my paper.
Oh.
I think is the first anniversary. And my beautiful wife, T, is on the line. Hello, darling.
Hi, darling. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Oh, you sound like a fresh couple.
Hi,
don't we?
Hello, T.
Hello, darling. T, have you got any questions you'd like to ask of my very wise parents?
Yeah.
Oh, well, look, Matt and I, one of our goals is to be rocking on a porch together at 98, and 55. I'd love to know, we're very, very open to the advice of those who've been married for 50 years and over. So, yeah, really, I love the way that your mum put the tolerance part really nicely as one of the secrets to a long marriage. I would say having unconditional acceptance and turning a blind eye to the little annoyances.
Yeah, that's true.
And also a daily practice of just lulling yourself into a false sense of security.
That's it, sweetheart. Well. I've taught you well. Taught you well. Don't worry. Don't look too hard. That's my advice.
I love this.
But if we can get Matt to be more yes dear, like your dad said, Kimber, I think we will definitely have happy wife, happy life.
I'm working on it, my love. I'm working on it.
Well, look, let's throw it out there.
Okay.
What do you think is the secret to a long marriage? I've not been married, so I don't know, but I think thoughtfulness.
Yeah,
I think if your partner is thoughtful, then they're thinking of you and how things will have an effect on you, mm-hmm. then it might be a healthier way to go.
Liz and I have been together we've been married for 6 years now. Mm-hmm. Open marriage.
That is a great idea.
Working well?
Works really
well.
No, I'm just kidding. Good morning, hun.
Michelle in Success, what do you think is the secret to a long, happy marriage?
Well, my Nana and Pop, who were married for 75 years, Nana always, 75 years they were married for before Pop passed away. Oh. And Nana always used to say, never go to bed angry, always go to bed never go to bed angry with each other.
Yeah, you can still be angry and say, I love you and, you know, can't you?
Yeah. Yeah, just like forgive each other easily.
And I suppose that is it. That is that tolerance, sacrifice, compromise, forgiveness, like the kind of thing of just going, we need to move on when it's not a big deal.
Yeah, and wake up angry. Hi, Wendy.
Hello.
What is it, mate? Oh, first off, how long have you been married for?
We will be married 60 years on December the 1st.
Well done, Wendy. Well, less than 5% of marriages make it to 60 years, so you're very special.
I know.
Teach us, Wendy, teach us.
Well, I've always said that never fall out of love at the same time.
That's very profound.
Okay, see, a lot of people wouldn't admit to that because it's tough to admit that you don't always love your partner, that sometimes you do fall out of love with them, but you reckon as long as you can get back on board.
That's right. I mean, I could have killed him a dozen times. And he probably me over the last 60 years, but there was always one that was still in love and we got through it.
That's beautiful.
I suppose what comes with that is how do you find your way back into loving them again?
Well, I guess I never really ever fell out of love with him, but I just didn't like him very much sometimes.
Maybe communication, Wendy. What do you think?
Yeah.
Communication, being able to express what's going on for you.
And to be able to talk things through.
Yeah.
And Wendy, am I also right in thinking that, you know, and maybe this is generational, but you made a commitment to each other. And so that was always just, no matter how we're feeling in this moment, we are committed and we will get through this.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there was never any reason to say we would get a divorce.
No.
It just wasn't a question. There was no question at all about that.
Yeah.
Wendy. You chose the right one then.
Yeah.
Nice one.
I was really, somebody would say, lots of sex.
It is really a big factor for some people, I mean.
Oh, you said factor. Okay.
It quells with time.
Right. Yeah. It's good to know. You're only a year in, mate. Jesus.